WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. While many women live in fear of rape, so must the typical man walking into the average jail or prison in the nation, where rape and other sexual violence are as much a part of the men's pained existence as the walls holding them prisoner. Rape in prison is rarely a sexual act, but one of violence, politics, and an acting out of power roles. That's an excerpt from Wilbert Rideau's article, The Sexual Jungle, which won a 1980 George Polk Award for Journalism. The article was published in The Angolite, the news magazine of the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola, where Rideau was serving a life sentence for murder. He's edited the magazine since 1975 and won several prestigious awards along the way, including one from the American Bar Association. His articles are collected in the new book, Life Sentences. We're going to continue our conversation, recorded from the prison office of the magazine. Rideau told me how he started working on the Angolite.
When I came off death row, I wanted a job. I asked for a job on the prison paper, which was at that time, remember, this was a segregated prison. And jobs as well as living quarters and everything else was segregated. And the newspaper was for whites only. And that was official. And what I did, they told me that I couldn't do it. And, you know, they couldn't do that. And I was assigned to the cannery to cut okra and can beans and other things, which is what I did. Then I got with a group of lifers and asked them to, would it be okay if I put out a publication for their organization called the Lifers? And they said, okay. So they backed me on that with and helped me put out a unofficial underground publication, which was competed with the official Angolite publication. And mine's turned out to be more popular with the prisoners than the official Angolite. And the administration put me out of business, and after putting me out of business, then I began writing a weekly column for a chain of Louisiana and Mississippi newspapers about prison. And I began to freelance, and eventually in 1975, the warden C. Murray Henderson called me in and asked me if I'd take over the Angolite. But by that time, they was trying to integrate the entire prison,
mm-hmm.
including jobs, and that's the way I got in. In 76, a new warden, C. Paul Phelps, who later became corrections director, he lifted the lid of censorship and gave us the mandate to investigate and publish whatever we wish, photograph whatever we wish, so long as whatever we did could be substantiated. In other words, our mandate was to tell the truth and be responsible and be fair.
So the idea was there would be no censorship, but was there? Did any of the wardens ever attempt to censor a story in spite of that?
Of course. I mean, everybody don't like what you do. I mean, just because you do good doesn't necessarily mean everybody want to see you do good. And everybody, you know, when you're doing some stories, I mean, it's like, you know, if you're going to tell the truth, there are a lot of people who don't want you to tell the truth. You've got not only some officials who don't want the truth to be told, you've even got inmate power brokers, criminal power brokers inside the prison who don't want truth to be told. It's not, you know, it's a two-way street. There are inmates as well as officials who don't want it to happen. And they have their different ways of making you know that they don't want it to happen, and they have their different ways of threatening you, and their different ways of...
What's the difference between the official way of threatening you and the prisoner power broker's way of threatening you if they don't want a story?
Prison officials can politely deny everything you need. Remember, my life depends upon prison authorities to a certain extent. They're responsible for my medical care. They're responsible for a whole lot of other things. And they can visitors and all sorts of things. I mean, they control the purse strings. They control a lot of things. And they can all politely deny me everything I want for any of a river of reasons. See?
Mm-hmm.
Flip side of the coin is inmates, on the other hand, their way of doing things is much more direct and physical. Their way of doing it would be to communicate to me that it would be unhealthy for me to, you know, continue doing what I'm doing.
I have to ask you about one of the pieces you wrote. This was back in, I think, 1980, and the piece won a George Polk Award, which is one of the most prestigious journalism awards. It was about prison rape, and it was about the whole kind of system that's developed in many prisons in which the toughest guys have sexual slaves or sexual whores.
Mm-hmm.
And you really detailed the way the system worked, and it was really an indictment not only of the prisoners who enslave other prisoners, but also of the prison system which allows it to happen.
The thing about that, Terry, is prior to that article, and that's the reason, that was written way back in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that time, corrections officials, not only in Louisiana, but throughout the United States, had always depicted homosexuality and sexual violence as being isolated incidents in prison. They never acknowledged that it was a world, it was a system, it was a culture, and that penal management even played a role in it. See, they had never did that before. That's the reason that article, got the attention it did, because it was the first time that anybody, as I understand it, you know, showed the entire picture of how it works and how even penal management affects what happens, because it's sort of like the form of sex that a sex slave have to engage in is more or less determined by the authorities.
What do you mean?
Well, it's like whether they're going to engage in anal or whether they're going to engage in intercourse or oral sex. You know, it's determined by what kind of security. I mean, what penal management dictates. If they tighten security, then he's going to engage in oral sex. If he's if authorities relax the security, then they'll engage in intercourse. So really, it's prison authorities who determine what forms of sex they engage in, although they never ask them. You know, they don't ask them, hey, look, what do you want to do and whatnot. And this is what the weak people have to, the weaker prisoners have to engage in. That's what determines. It's opportunity. It has to do with opportunity. That's what determines, you know, what form it takes.
Were you threatened at all after the piece was published?
Yeah. There are quite a few prisoners who had a problem with the fact that, you see, because prisoners, just like authorities, they did not want this picture being conveyed to the public, because, like quite a few inmates told me, man, look, I've got a mother out there. I've got family out there. I don't want my people thinking I'm doing this, I mean, whether I'm doing it or not. You know, and you had quite a few prisoners who thought like that. They had a problem with it, and they didn't like it. And they were quite peeved with me. On the other hand, you had corrections officials who had a problem with it. In fact, there were some correctional authorities from another state. And I recall the C. Paul Phelps, corrections director, they went to a convention. And there were some corrections officials from other states who wouldn't even talk to them, because talk to the Louisiana officials, because they had permitted us to do this, to put their business out in the public like this. And you'll note that in that report on the sexual jungle in the book, we have corrections officials in Louisiana, prison officials, even explaining it.
My guest is Wilbert Rideau, editor of The Angolite, the news magazine of the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. We're after the short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Wilbert Rideau, who is the editor of The Angolite, which is the bimonthly news magazine of the Angola State Prison in Louisiana, maximum security prison. And a collection of his writings has just been published under the title Life Sentences. And he's speaking to us by phone from the prison. It sounds like the news magazine that you edit has a really important place within the prison, but I'm wondering how much of the prison population can read.
65% of the prison population read before below a fifth grade level. That's our population.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, what we do is we try to write for our audience, and we keep them in mind, which is why at times while we publish professional papers, academic papers, and other investigative things, we have we try to keep most of our articles down to the point where someone with a seventh or eighth grade could read it and understand it. And a lot of guys who don't understand or can't read at that level, they have the inmate in the bunk next to them, in the bed next to them, they'll read it to them. They'll explain it to them.
Is that frustrating for you? Does that limit the way that you can write for the publication?
No. In fact, I've come to appreciate it. I've come to like it. You know, I used to be one of those people who believed that, hey, you know, you play with the English language and you write, you try to write for, you know, to appear scholarly, and you use all these long words and all that. I mean, you just play with it. But there's a certain beauty in simplicity, keeping everything simple. There's a beauty in it.
Let me read something that you wrote in one of your pieces, one of the pieces published in the new collection, Life Sentences. You wrote, in order to emerge an improved individual from it all, from prison, one must completely transcend the entire prison experience, a feat requiring the determination of a fanatic, the adeptness of a master politician, and the tough fighting ability of a seasoned mercenary. It seems to me that, you know, you've transcended the experience. So what do you think accounts for your changes? Some people would look at you as an example and say, well, the prison experience must have worked, you know, because he learned to write, he learned to read, he's become an editor and a writer, being published nationally. So, what, you know, looking at yourself and what you've lived through.
You should also understand when you look at that.
Yeah.
For every Wilbert Rideau that became the kind of individual that he became, one that you don't mind sitting and talking with, and you can understand and relate to, there's probably 100 others who failed.
Mm-hmm.
I was strong enough to rise above my own personal problems. I was strong enough to be able to, tame and conquer, my situation, my own ignorance. But that doesn't mean that everybody's the same way.
Yeah.
Generally aren't.
Your co-editor was recently paroled. How recent was that?
A month ago. He got out a month ago.
Wow. You must have been thrilled for him, but you probably feel a great loss as well.
Well, there's nobody, let me tell you, I watch Ron, Ron is a well-intentioned, he's a hard worker, and he spent 23 years trying to, work on his future, work on his, trying to do something good with his life, and he did good, and there are few people who deserve it as much as he does, deserve it, a chance at freedom, at a second chance in life, and I think that society will be the better because of it. Because Ron has, he can contribute. But the next question, and it's separate, is, how do I feel being left behind? You get to see a lot of people go, and in this instance, Ron was my right arm. I mean, it's his contribution to the magazine. In fact, Toad, you know, I mean, I don't know. What can I say? I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss him in a whole lot of ways. I'm going to miss him because he was the most productive member on the entire staff. I mean, he, you know, he was the kind of person you wanted for a partner, which is why he was my partner. And you know, I'm going to miss him in his what he would have contributed to Dang Light. I'm going to miss how he would cover my back, you know, guard my back against my enemies. I mean, you know, and generally always there to support me. I'm going to miss all that.
Wilbert Rideau is the editor of The Angolite, the news magazine of the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. His articles are collected in the new book Life Sentences, published by Times Books. This is Fresh Air.